All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Thank you for joining me today. A little bit late getting the podcast up this week, and I apologize for that. We've got a lot planned today, so it's Super Bowl week, obviously. And we talked on the show last week about, at least for me, how special it always is. And I don't care who's playing. Obviously, I'm a Bucks fan. I'm not one of these guys that has to have a rooting interest in every other game. I'm a Bucks fan, period. And if the Bucks aren't involved, I usually, I don't want to say always, but I usually don't have much of a rooting interest outside of gambling. But it doesn't matter because the Super Bowl is one of just a handful of sporting events, and there are very few of them, but one of a handful of sporting events where I actually feel different waking up the morning of the game. Whether my team is playing or not, and the Bucks have only been in it one time, but no matter who's playing in it, no matter how little I care about either of the teams playing in it, I always have a little bit of butterflies, a little bit of anticipation waking up on Super Bowl Sunday morning, like, hey, it's the Super Bowl today. For me, it's a big deal. Others of you may not feel that way, and that's fine. It might just be a casual thing. In fact, we're going to talk about that on the show coming up here because there's a lot of different ways to watch the Super Bowl, and I've done it almost all of them. Talk about what the best way to watch it is. I want to talk a little bit about the Thursday Night Football New Deal signed between the NFL and Fox, which I am personally very excited about. We'll look at some prop bets and things like that. That's all coming up here. So first things first, I want to thank the Joes, as always, for helping me get the show up. I want to thank you guys for listening, and I want to talk to you. If you want to get a hold of me, it's easy to do. Easy to do. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That goes directly to my inbox, and I'll email you back. All spelled normally, all one word, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Then, on Twitter, of course, give me a follow or tweet at me or whatever it is you do, @bobbygameday. So let's get to what we want to get to. First of all, talking about Super Bowl Sunday morning and the whole day. I mean, all week long I've been looking forward to it. And again, how you do things depends on who you are. But when I think of the events that really matter to me, and when I say really matter to me, it means that I will watch them no matter who is involved, that it's a special day no matter who is involved, that those are things that I literally, I don't mean figuratively, I mean I literally have a calendar that I keep. And I still keep an actual fold-over calendar where you, every time the month changes, you fold the sheet of paper. And I like to write things in the boxes with pen. That's the kind of calendar I use. I barely use my phone calendar. I like something on paper. So there's only a few sporting events I actually write on there. Like I actually put in the little box Super Bowl Sunday. Obviously the Super Bowl is the college football national championship game is another. Those are the two sports most dear to my heart. You know, as much as I love baseball and hockey, I don't have the World Series circled on my calendar or the Stanley Cup Finals circled on my calendar. I watch those, but they're not special days. I would say it's the Super Bowl, the college football championship game, definitely Masters Sunday, the whole Masters really, but Masters Sunday, that's a special day. That's a day I don't mess around with. Derby Day, I'm a huge horse racing guy. I've always loved the Kentucky Derby. Derby Day goes on there, and really, for that matter, all three of the Triple Crown races. I mean, they don't take up that much of your time, so it's not like it's that hard to watch them. But those are three, unquestioned, no matter what. And then the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, really the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, Thursday through Sunday. Those sporting events are the special ones where I actually think about them at night, the night before when I'm going to bed, and they're the first thing that pops into my head when I wake up the next morning. And so here we are this year, another one in the books. I can actually think back to all of my life, going back to probably when I was 5 years old, my first one I can think of. And I can tell you where I was when I watched the game for every single Super Bowl that's been played since then. Literally every single one. I can remember at least something about the company I was in or where I was or what. And that brings me to watching the Super Bowl. Because again, there's a lot of ways to do it. I've done it all of them. I've watched the Super Bowl with a couple of buddies, just a couple. I've watched the Super Bowl all alone, literally all alone, just me and the TV. I've watched the Super Bowl
at huge Super Bowl parties with tons of people, big gatherings. I've watched the Super Bowl with just my family and friends. The Bucks Super Bowl is the one I'm thinking of there, where that was a close gathering of the people I love the most for the most special Super Bowl of all of them. And then I've watched the Super Bowl from inside the stadium. I've been to two of them. And I've also watched the Super Bowl from outside the stadium, walking around looking for a ticket and coming up empty. And seeing it on the Jumbotron, craning my neck from outside in the parking lot. I've done that too. So I've done it every way you want to do it. And let me tell you something. I'm a little bit torn, and this year, well, I'll do what I've done most years. I'll go to my buddy Laughlin's house. If anybody who knows Laughlin's listening, I'll tell him I mentioned his name on the podcast. But he hosts a big Super Bowl party every year. It's always a lot of fun. And I'll go to that. And he's got a pool that's somewhat heated. We usually play pool volleyball leading up to kickoff. Then we get out, dry off, put clothes on, watch the game. It's a great tradition we have. But his party has gotten pretty big. And so now here's my thing with the Super Bowl. I care about the game. I mean, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm not just going to like go to a party and, oh, it's on in the background and here we are. This is a big deal. I mean, it's a game that matters to me. I want to watch it. You get to these Super Bowl parties, and again, depending on how mixed the company is, it can be a bit of a distraction. Again, watching it with a close group of, you know, 10, 15 people, people that you know all of them, that you see them all at least semi-routinely, and it's not a big deal that you're seeing them, that's probably the ideal setup to me. But at these bigger parties, you get into what I call catch-up people. And they're people you have to catch up with. And it's nothing against them. And these are usually people that I like and I'm at least acquaintances with. But I don't like people who I only see... Or I shouldn't say that. I phrased that the wrong way. I don't dislike the people. I don't like the situation when I'm trying to watch the Super Bowl and I keep running into people that I only see once a year at the Super Bowl party and now we got to catch up. And it's the small talk, all this stuff. Hey, what's going on? How you been, man? Are you doing all right? Job's good? What about your kids? What are they, like 5 and 3 now? Oh, hell, that's unbelievable. Yeah, mine are 6 and 2, blah, blah. Same thing. I mean, just small talk, idle, whatever. That is a distraction from the game. So, and again, all of you have your own ways of watching the game. I'm not telling you how to do it, but I've actually considered in the past not going to my buddy's party. Not because there's anything wrong with it, but because it's really hard to watch the game. But then watching it just at your house, which is me, you know, I have my wife and she'll watch it. She's into football. She wouldn't be my wife if she wasn't at least a little bit into football. But still, like, you want to feel like you're out doing something. You want to feel like you're somewhere. So I don't want to just stay home and watch it, even though then I would be able to give the game my undivided attention. I think you have to strike a balance. But the whole catch-up people thing does tend to be a little bit of a problem. And again, it's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's good to see people, but in my opinion, you want to try and keep it to people that you see routinely enough. And, you know, again, you don't have to necessarily even see them in person all the time, but if it's friends you're close enough to where, like, you don't have to ask them all these questions about their family lives, like people who you're at least routinely in touch with, then it's perfect because then you can all just get together, sit down, have fun, watch the game. It's a great dynamic. It gets too big, and at least with people you don't know at all, then you can just ignore them. But when it's people that you know that you can't just not say something to, but you don't know them that well, now you're into the catch-up person zone where you go, oh, let's catch up. Hey, what about you, Fenton? How you been doing? Oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. How about you? It makes it hard. Now, I'll tell you another thing that kind of bugs me. I mean, the Super Bowl, to its credit, has always had a great starting time. I think 6:15, 6:30, right when they started, that's about the perfect starting time. I mean, they've got it just right, because it's too early in the day, you don't get enough buildup. I like the buildup. I like the anticipation. I don't actually sit down and watch 8 hours of pregame shows, but I like that it's happening. I like having it on in the background while I'm doing whatever I do during the day to get ready. Having it on in the background while we're playing pool volleyball. You know, I don't need the game to be at 2 o'clock. It doesn't feel big enough that early. It needs to be later in the day, but you don't want it at 8 o'clock or something like that where it's starting so late and getting finished so late. I think 6:30 like they do now is perfect, and they've been doing it that way my whole life. And I like things that stay the same every year that you can set your watch to.
both literally and figuratively. I like that. The Super Bowl's kind of traditional that way. So that part is good. But still, and maybe this is a product of my age being in my late 30s and therefore my friends also being around their mid to late 30s and just the general company I keep, and people are having kids, and now those kids at our age, again, everybody's different, but at my age, most of my friends have kids within the range of, you know, young ones to 2 years old up to like 7 or 8, somewhere in there, so still pretty young. So, and some of them get sitters and things like that, but even if they get sitters, like last year, everybody was all geeked up for the big Super Bowl party. Oh man, here we go. First half was great. And then in the second, at halftime, people start leaving. By the time the Patriots capped off one of the most exciting comebacks in the history of all of sports last year, that big energetic crowd at the Super Bowl party, there was like nobody left. Everybody had left, except for me, my wife, a couple other people. The place was just dead. And I never understood the idea of going to a Super Bowl party and then leaving and going home and watching the second half at your house. And again, I would get it if it was an 8 o'clock kickoff or something, but so many people do that now, and that kind of kills the vibe for me. You know, I like the energy of a big crowd, whether it's in the stadium or whether it's even at a party. I like the energy of the crowd, and I like it to be sustained throughout the game, not for a quarter or two. Or, you know, everybody always hangs on for the halftime show, because that's especially like the most of the people at the party that are casual football people, and that's another problem with these big parties. You get too many casual football people. I don't like casual football people. I don't mean I don't like them personally. I mean, on Super Bowl Sunday, I don't need to be in that company of people. But, you know, there's always some douche nozzle. Oh, what about the commercials? I want to see the commercials more than the game. Screw you. Screw that guy. All right? There's always, I mean, first of all, most chicks. There's always those people that the halftime show comes on, they'll be rapt with attention. Every eye at the party will be on that TV for the halftime show. The game will be going on, and you know most people will be kind of watching it, but there'll be a lot of circulation. Halftime show comes, nobody's going to miss it, I promise you. And I have no problem with people watching the halftime show, but I don't like the people who just watch the halftime show. I don't like the people who talk about the commercials. I don't even remember the commercial. I don't even watch them. I do just like I would do for any other game. A commercial comes on, I usually go straight to my phone and start looking at Twitter and things like that. But again, you're going to get a lot of that with a Super Bowl party. And maybe some of you are nodding saying, yeah, Bobby, this is why I don't do it. This is why I stay home, or this is why I have a small group of buds that I watch the game with. And again, a lot to be said for that. I don't know what this year's party will be like at my buddy Laughlin's house, but either way, you know, I'm going to try my very best to stay focused and enjoy the football game, because after all, what are we watching? We're watching, in my opinion, the greatest sporting event created by mankind, right? I mean, the Super Bowl is the culmination of everything. Number two, we're watching the final football game of the season of any level. So after they snap that ball for the final time on Sunday night, there ain't going to be any more football until August. And you get spring football in college if you even count that, which I barely do. And speaking of not another snap until August, leads me to another phenomenon I've been experiencing lately. We've all been experiencing it. And that's the phenomenon of complaining about having too much football, which boggles my mind, quite frankly. I still don't get it. But people will often, when a game is not up to their standards in quality of play, lament the fact that the game is being played at all. And I've never understood that. If you want to lament the fact that you're watching a poor quality game instead of a better quality game that's on maybe a different channel or isn't on at all and you can't switch to it, those are valid complaints. But if you want to lament the quality of a football game and act as if you'd rather it never have been played when it's the only football game available to you, that makes little sense to me. And that brings up the Thursday Night Football contract, which was signed this week. Again, in case you missed it, Fox News, or not Fox News, Fox, regular big boy Fox, signs on with the NFL. The package includes, and this is a 6-year deal, at over $60 million a year. I mean, it's unbelievable. Getting the actual numbers here. But it's a huge, huge number. I mean, it's just ridiculous how much money. And in fact, if you take the whole deal as a whole, you know, the entire thing, It's over $1 billion of money changing hands to televise football games. This is 600 and something per season over 6 seasons. So yeah, over 3. So what's going to happen now, basically, is Thursday night football is going to be on Fox instead of, you know, it's been on CBS. It's been on a little bit on NBC this past year. They did that. Now it's going to be on Fox, period. You never have to wonder where it's going to be. It'll be simulcast on the NFL Network like they usually do, but it'll be on Fox. It starts in week 4. It goes all the way to week 15. And it'll be on Fox except for one of the Thanksgiving week. It's still on NBC that Thursday night. But you're getting 11 plus one more 12 weeks of it. The only weeks you won't have it are the... And actually, week 1 you have it too because that's the opening kickoff game. That's on NBC. Week 2 and 3 you won't have it. Week 16 and 17 you won't have it. So basically, you've got a Thursday night football game of some kind all but 4 in the regular season. And when this news broke over the weekend, and Thursday night football has caught a lot of flack, obviously, for a number of the quality of play, the injuries, the safety aspect of it. Oh, they, you know, they're playing on short weeks. This is bad for the game, which I have no problem with those angles, okay? Those are valid complaints. But some people, just on the basis of it not being quote-unquote very good football, lamented the signing of this contract. I saw so many tweets and things like that saying, well, I guess this means we're going to be stuck with Thursday night football for 6 more years. I guess that's not going anywhere. Ha ha ha. Stuck with what? You don't want to get... I mean, you don't want a game on Thursday night? Like, you don't want a football game on Thursday night. Because I freaking love Thursday night football. And maybe I'm a loser. Maybe I need to get a life. Maybe having 2 kids at home, small kids, and kind of getting into the doldrums of middle-aged dad, you know, type stuff that a lot of us have probably gone through. And I love having kids. I'm just saying, like, maybe I need to get a life, but I get a little hop in my step on Thursdays because it's like the first taste of the weekend. Hey, there's football tonight. And there's usually a college game, too, but it's not as good as it used to be because of the NFL having a game now. That Bucks-Patriots game, when it was here, I was fired up for that. That was a ton of fun that night. But on any random night, any 2 crappy teams, I don't care who it is. On Thursdays, I'm like, you know what? That's pretty much the weekend beginning. The weekend begins on Thursday afternoon. You've got your NFL game. Friday's a write-off. And you got high school football, and you're off and running with the whole thing. But what exactly is bad about the idea of Thursday night football as a concept? I get the safety concerns, and the way they've done the schedule now, you know, there's a way maybe to have almost, and not every week, but almost every week have those teams coming off their bye or something to mitigate or give them the bye. I don't know. There's ways to work around it maybe a little bit better than they have to where you're not getting guys consistently playing on 4 days rest week after week after week, where maybe it happens, you know, a few weeks out of the season, but a lot of the time you can get them coming off a bye week or something. And they need to look at that and things like that. I agree. But the idea that Thursday night football is so bad and so hard to watch, it's just really a thorn in your side. It's wasting your time, and it'd be better if we didn't have it at all. Get the hell out of here. That's a terrible take. You know, matters of opinion I try not to argue about usually, but sometimes people have bad takes. That's a bad take. I guess we're stuck with Thursday night football. Are you kidding me? I love Thursday night football. I just got the kids to bed. It's 8:15, whatever time it is. Would you like to not have an NFL game on TV? Because I like having one. Heaven knows there's enough to go around. And here's the other thing. It's not like the NFL is like college where every single game is on TV, no matter what the time slot. I mean, you can pretty much watch every college game you want to on about 10 different channels, give or take, every Saturday. The NFL's got their windows, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, every Sunday. So even if there's 7 games going on in a window, you're only going to get 1. That's some of you might have red zone and things like that, and that's great. I've been in a red zone house before. It's fun. But again, it's not like, oh, we're just spreading games too thin now. It's a game you would have missed if it was folded in with all the other games that are going on simultaneously at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock on Sunday. Give me a Thursday night game. Give me your Sunday slate. Give me a Sunday nighter. Give me a Monday nighter. I'm good with it, baby.
Yeah, I don't understand why anybody who likes football wouldn't be good with it. And I get the player safety concerns. Those are, again, perfectly valid. But no team is being asked to do this, first of all, more than once a year. And second of all, again, you work it out to where, with the bye weeks and things like that, you might not even have, you know, half the teams having to do it. So, and I'm not unsympathetic to the plight of the players. In fact, you know, now that I'm playing semi-pro football, which I've talked about on this show, playing for the Dunedin Pirates, I was telling you guys I used to play a wide receiver growing up, and I was, you know, a backup much of that time, but how I was asked to play defensive end for a full half and linebacker for all of the second half in our preseason game a few weeks ago. Go to DunedinPirates.com if you want more info. We do have a game on Saturday. It's in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale. But anyway, point is, I did one game in the trenches down there, which I'd never done in my life as a football player. And I was beat up, and I was like, oh, man, I was in a lot of pain. Like, my upper body, my yoke area, like my collarbone, shoulders, inside biceps were all bruised up. And I was like, man, I would not want to have to play a game 4 days from now. Like, I got a taste of it that I'd never gotten before. So I'm sympathetic to it. But again, once a year, I don't think it's too much to ask. Especially if the league makes concessions in other places, which they should. Or works around things with bye weeks as best they can. And of course, everybody always said, well, they're never going to get rid of it because of the money. You're seeing that now. Fox paying an inordinate amount of money. You know, we're talking about in the billions with a B when this thing is all told after 6 years. Just for the right to put football on television. And why? Because they know. And I'm not sure how much money they'll make off the deal. I think they really, you know, went that high with the offer, even though they may not actually come up with a huge net. It's just because they wanted to make it known, let everybody know, hey, this is what we're going to do. Fox is a, you know, if you look at what Fox was built on, it was built on football, really, when it got the NFL contract in the 90s. And they're a player again now, not just on Sundays, but on Thursdays. And you better believe my ass will tune in. I mean, I just, again, same thing with college football when they play on these bad nights, Tuesday night games, Wednesday night, and it's some MAC team or Sun Belt. I mean, again, ha ha ha, we can make fun of it, that's fine. But you really would honestly rather not have it on? No, of course, put something on. I assume if you're listening to this show, you're like me, that you're a bigger than average football fan, you're not just a casual fan. So act like it. And don't act like having extra football games on TV on weeknights that are usually just boring-ass weeknights is some kind of a curse. It's a blessing we should all be thankful for. All hail Thursday night football. Good job by Fox putting up the money. Looking forward to it. I don't know who's going to call it. They're saying, and maybe it'll be Buck, but maybe not. I don't really care enough about it to get into it on the show about who ends up calling the games. But it's just asinine to me when I hear... You know, I know Twitter was designed for snark. I get it. I'm snarky on Twitter. But when I see the things I saw the past couple of days about, well, here we go. More Thursday night football. I can't believe this. I guess we're not going to be getting rid of it after all. Yeah, you're damn right we're not getting rid of it because everybody watches it despite all your whining and groaning. Your ass will watch it too. If you're a football fan. They just don't want it at all. Let's have an extra game on Sunday at 1 with the other 9 games going on Sunday at 1 that we can't watch. Hell, I think I'd go further. I think the NFL needs to go the college football route instead of having just specific 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. You know, spread the games out. Use 3 or 4 channels. Put them on anywhere. You know, every single college game, like I said, you can watch it. You can watch every college game involving like a Power 5 team, basically. Like, they've made it so that that's almost a given every Saturday. And the NFL doesn't have nearly that many games to worry about on any given weekend. On any given Sunday, if you take out the Monday game and the Thursday game, plus some bye weeks, you might only have 10, 11 games on a Sunday. Now, you can play those in a number of time slots on a number of channels and get them seen. There ought to be 2 back-to-back on Fox. There ought to be 2 back-to-back on CBS. NBC's got the Sunday Nighter. You know, go to FS1. Go to CBS Sports Network. There's enough channels out there that are still controlled by the major players where you can get it to where almost every game is able to be watched by anybody with a basic cable package.
But that's a rant for another day. My rant for today was just utter disbelief that people are complaining that Thursday Night Football is extended. I actually was excited when I heard that news the other day. So as for now, the Super Bowl on Sunday, I haven't talked about this much. I mean, I'm not one of these guys, especially with the extra week in between games. I don't need to dissect the Super Bowl to death. Plenty of other people are doing that, and nobody knows what will happen anyway, so even the ones that are doing it don't know. But if you want that sort of thing, there's plenty of places for you to get it. Not here. I will say this, though. Again, when it's not the Bucks, I'm usually going to bet on it. It's the Super Bowl. So I'm looking at it from a gambling standpoint. Now, this line opened up at 6.5. It's down to 4.5. People have been hitting the Eagles. They've moved that line 2 points. I don't see it. But I was talking to my wife about this the other day because, you know, she was like, oh, yeah, this one's an easy call, right? I mean, Patriots win this, no problem. And I said, you know, every time I've doubted the Patriots and I've thought, oh, man, they might be up against it here. I'm not sure. They pull it out like last year. I mean, like almost all of their wins have been like that. But then there's only been a couple times with the Patriots where I said, you know what? This one's in the bag. No way. Don't even need to play the game. This one's an easy one. They're going to win. We all know. 07 Super Bowl against the Giants. 11 Super Bowl against the Giants. They lost. The more sure I seem to be, the more easy something looks, the easier something looks, the more of a no-brainer it looks like. I've learned this in my time watching sports, and I'm 37 years old. I've probably been watching sports, like, coherently for 30 of those since I was, like, 7 or 8. And the easier it seems on paper, those are the ones that always, I mean, I don't want to say always, but so often end up being a total surprise. So I was tempted this week, in the early part of the week, I started thinking, I actually let this thought enter my head. This is what an idiot I am. I actually let the thought enter my head. Ah, you know, I guess I should get the credit card out and just make a deposit into my online betting account. I mean, I've got some money in there, but I really want to have enough to really sink my teeth into this one. Let me get the account. Let me load it up with some money. I'll pay the 5% fee because I'm going to make it back anyway. Easy call here. I'm going to go triple digits on the Patriots winning this game and just, you know, treat this game basically like it's an ATM. Like, I'm going to go to the cash machine and get whatever I want because Patriots to win is such an easy one. The money line on the Patriots is only like minus 180, which is a little bit steeper than you'd like, but not that bad for a money line. I mean, it's the Patriots. That's the point. The line down to 4.5 now, and I don't see it. Personally, I don't see it. When in doubt, look at the quarterbacks, and I'm thinking, is Nick Foles going to go out there and beat Ty? I know they don't play against each other, but when in doubt, look at the quarterbacks. Imagine, like, betting on the Eagles and then having them go out there and Nick Foles can barely get anything going. You know, after a quarter and a half, they've got, like, 72 yards of offense. Just imagine being in that scenario midway through the second quarter and you've already bet on Foles and you've got basically no chance and you're just feeling awful about yourself. How would I do this? What an idiot I am. And meanwhile, on the other side, you've got Tom Brady. And yet, all these arguments, all these things that make it seem so easy, I've learned enough in the 30 years prior watching games, either betting on them or just watching them, every time you think it's going to be easy. Yeah, I almost never let myself do that, too, because I'm so disciplined about it. Any team, any chance, any day, they could do it. You know, I try to keep that mentality. But every time I've slipped and said, you know what, I'm pretty comfortable saying X is going to happen. I'll be damned if Y doesn't happen instead that weekend. It almost gets me every time. So I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go heavy on New England. I'm afraid Nick Foles will figure it out. I'm afraid the Eagles' defense will be the ones that finally don't just stop Brady and the Patriots in the early parts of the first half, but actually sustain it throughout the entire game. You know, those things could happen. So, gun to my head, if I had to, I would take the Patriots. I think we all would. It'd be the smart thing to do if you only had one choice and you had to make it quickly. But looking closer and closer, and again, knowing how I've been burned in the past, I'm not going to go real heavy on this game, but I am going to enjoy it. And again, there's lots of reasons to enjoy it, but it's the Super Bowl, it's the final one, and that's what it's all about. Now, there's some prop bets that I wanted to just mention. There's a whole bunch of them every year at the Super Bowl. It's one of the things I love about it. You know, they've always got the specialty prop bets that you don't get for just any game, but they get real specific.
So I was looking down the whole list, and they've got all kinds of crazy, you know, they always have some shock value ones and some novelty ones that aren't serious bets. You know, what color would Justin Timberlake's shoes be for the halftime show was one. Obviously, the Gatorade bet, the cost bet, which is a personal favorite of mine. I've bet on the coin toss for about 10 Super Bowls in a row, and it never ceases to be really exciting. And me and my Drew always bet together. Like, we always make a list of different bets, and we, you know, pick, he picks some, I pick some. But the coin toss, every year, one of us picks, you know, either gets to call heads or tails. And, oh, man, I mean, the tension when they're coming out onto the midfield, you know, NFL logo there, and the referee starts explaining everything. Just having $3 on it, the amount of money doesn't even matter. Man, what an adrenaline rush. Gets you going right into the game. I always enjoy betting on the length of the national anthem. This year, pink. The over-under is 2 minutes. And the over is a slight favorite at minus 140. This is according to Odd Shark. So there's always a bunch of those, but as far as the ones I thought offered good value, one, how many times will Carson Wentz be mentioned during the broadcast? The over-under is 3.5. And I thought the over was really, I mean, to me, it's going to be hard for them not to mention Wentz at least 4 times. The over is minus 150. The under 3.5 is plus 110. So a slight favorite for Carson Wentz to be mentioned over 3.5 times. And that was one that kind of jumped off the page at me because I have a hard time believing it'll be less than that. Will Al Michaels refer to the spread? Yes, plus 110. No, minus 150. This is another one. Now, we know Al Michaels loves to at least not reference the spread itself, but make allusions to it. I don't know what the wording of this bet, if that means he has to actually make a reference to, hey, that just put the game over or under, or the over-unders, and, you know, or does he have to just kind of make a casual allusion to it? Like, sometimes I've heard him say, you know, when a field goal makes the game go over, he'll be like, well, that kick goes over the crossbar, and we are done here. 48-41, you're fine. You know, something like that where he, like, again, alludes to it but doesn't actually mention it. If it's actually mentioning it, I think no is really, really undervalued here, and minus 150 is a steal. How many times will the outside temperature be mentioned? This one I saw and I couldn't believe it. The over-under is 1. For how many times the outside temperature will be mentioned during the broadcast? Now, first of all, there is no way it's not mentioned at least once, so you're guaranteed a push here. I mean, you're not going to lose. They're not going to not mention it. They're going to say at least one time, well, chilly Minneapolis, it's 4 outside, but we are under U.S. Bank Stadium or whatever the hell they call it. You know, that's going to happen. So, I mean, I don't see how anybody could lose this bet betting over 1. Because you know they'll make that reference, and then, of course, if they just make one more at some point, you win. But you're going to get your push no matter what, in my opinion. So, with all that said, if you're into the gambling thing, if you're not into the gambling thing, if you're just watching just to watch, if you have picked a side just because you need to have a side, whatever it is, hey, it's the last game of the season. And I want to thank all you guys for listening this whole time. And we're still doing podcasts on the Joe Bucks Fan. I'm not talking like that. I just mean, you know, there's a degree of, I guess the word is solemnity to these proceedings. I remember my principal at Jesuit High School, Mr. Traina, at our commencement speech in 1998 when I graduated from Jesuit. It was actually the day before during rehearsal. We were headed over to the Performing Arts Center. We were rehearsing, walking out and everything, and the whole senior class was there, and he was talking to us, and we're all goofing off, joking around. You know, we're having the time of our life, and he gathered everybody around. He said, hey, listen, all right, I know everybody's goofing off and everything. You guys are all fired up. He's like, there's a degree of solemnity to this. This is the last time, no matter what, tomorrow's the last time that all 156 of you are going to be together. Never again will that happen. Most of you might get together for reunions, and some of you are here, or you're not going to never see your buddies again. You'll see your buddies, but all 156 of you in the same place at the same time that you've been doing every day for 4 years here in high school, he said, tomorrow's the last time. And as happy an occasion as this is, he said, there's a degree of solemnity to it. And he was absolutely right. It kind of sobered me up. And it's the same thing with Super Bowl every year. I can't wait for the game. Fun party, all this and that and the other. This is the last time ever the 2017 football season is going to have any type of a game played tomorrow. That's it. Or I shouldn't say tomorrow, but I'm recording this on Thursday night. Whenever you might be listening to it, could be any time. But Sunday evening, it's over. And there ain't no football again for 8 more months. And so that always gets me every year because I love football season so much. And maybe the XFL will come along in a couple of years and make it all right during the offseason. I'm still skeptical of that. But the point is, no matter what happens, I have had an absolute blast doing this show through each and every week of the football season. I remember my first one because we had Hurricane Irma bearing down on us, and I remember coming on and saying, well, I'm still not sure we're going to have a game on Sunday as of right now. In fact, the chances are it'll be a bye week, but here we go. And we started doing the free stretch. Which, for those of you that don't know, I mean, this by now, maybe most of you know, but this used to be my radio show that I did for years and years here in Tampa. That's how I got to know the Joes from Joe Bucks Fan. I haven't done that show in several years now, and I still miss doing it. But the Joes threw me a lifeline and said, hey, Bobby, you want to do a podcast? And I'd never done a podcast before. It's still kind of unnatural to me, although it's getting more natural now after doing it for, 20 weeks, to do just talk for half an hour. No commercial breaks. I want to get to the point where I could take phone calls or at least something. I don't know. I don't have the technology yet. But just the idea of coming in and talking is still kind of new to me. And I was never a podcast listener before I started doing this, but the Joes threw me that lifeline and said, hey, let's get you back in front of a microphone again. And it has felt so good to be able to do that since they allowed me the chance on this awesome website that draws so many eyeballs, that draws so much passion from the Bucks fan community. And so I want to thank them and you guys all for making that possible. We'll have the draft and everything, free agency, all that stuff. That'll be cool. But this is the last podcast of this season where we're talking about an actual football game coming up. And again, just like my principal said, there's a degree of solemnity to that. In the meantime, thanks again to the Joes. Thanks to you. Email me at BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at BobbyGameDay. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch Super Bowl edition here on JoeBucksFan.com. Enjoy the game. Whatever you do, eat well, have fun, be safe. And as always, come hell or high water, whether they're playing or not, let's go Bucks.